Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. Today, I have a good friend of mine, Jennifer Jenkins, that's going to help share a little bit of her story and journey about something kind of unique that she created and formed the website, theallergista.com, from her own journey of going through allergies, about 24 different allergies to be exact, and her battles with eczema in her adult life. So I want to welcome Jennifer, unfortunately not in studio because she is expecting in about a month. So we're doing a phone interview, but thank you so much for taking the time to come on today. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. I'm really excited. I'm feeling good in this last month of pregnancy, and I'm excited to share my everything that I've learned in this crazy journey with everybody.
Yes, I think, you know, it's so important because there's so many, I think what people too don't understand is that as the years go by, and as you grow up, you could either grow out of allergies or grow into allergies, but our body constantly changes. And you being through this experience and kind of not having as much of a guideline to follow and probably have gone to many different doctors and specialists. Yeah. I know you have a lot of insight to this, and I think it's great that you kind of took it upon yourself to be able to help others and create this platform for everyone. And, you know, I'm so excited that you're going to be able to share a lot of this stuff with our listeners today. But I definitely... Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say the point you brought up about, you know, you can have them as a kid and they can go away, or you can develop them later, is such a huge thing that so many people don't realize. And I didn't develop mine until I was like about 26 or whatever it was. And now I'm 35.
Wow.
And if you have allergies as a kid, you're more likely to grow out of them than mm-hmm. you are, you know, if you get them as an adult. And then I also heard that there's a chance of them disappearing when you get pregnant, but that didn't happen, unfortunately.
You're like, of course that didn't happen with me.
I figured, you know, I've got like one or two shots to see if that happens. But, yeah, they can come and go. So that's something to keep in mind for sure.
That's, I know, it's so fascinating how the human body works, isn't it?
It is. It's crazy. It can be unpredictable.
Yes, for sure. So before we go into the allergies on the site and all our tips and info on allergies, give us a little bit about your background.
Well, I was a full-time corporate graphic designer. I did a lot of work more recently for Chicago Lawyer Magazine. I did that for the last 4 years, and I fell in love with graphic design in high school, and when I was living out on the East Coast in Maine, got a job in a newspaper doing advertisements, and kept going with it over the years, and...
And you did help me with my first website. I just have to put that out there.
I did. Yeah.
For my business, Gen Z's.
I think I did two for you, because then I did a redesign.
Yes, we did
your very first one.
Yes, and, you did. God, that was 11 years ago. Just saying.
That's crazy. Wow.
I know.
Time flies. That's nuts.
I know.
And then, you know, I did a couple other little, like, odd jobs. That, you know, like, at one point I was working with dogs for a little bit because I needed a break from the whole newspaper industry that I was in. I was working for a big newspaper, and, you know, the newspaper industry isn't doing so well, and it was a dark environment at times. Mm-hmm. So I took a break for about a year, and I worked with dogs because it's really important to pay attention to your mental state and your mental health. And, you know, it was a really good break. And then I got back into the corporate world, and I was really glad that I did, because I had an amazing time designing Chicago Lawyer Magazine. And then all these years, I knew that I wanted to become a yoga teacher, and the right moment finally opened up over the winter to do the training. It's just really time consuming, you know. It's a 200-hour training, and I had to take time off of work. Luckily, my boss was really cool, but I took like 10 days off in a row in January, and then 10 in February, and was doing my training from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So it was the most amazing experience, and the timing was perfect because I knew that when we started a family, my husband and I, that I wanted a more flexible schedule. I still wanted to keep working, but daycare is so expensive, and we really just liked the idea of me being able to be home with, you know, the family. Still working, but just, you know, so I'm in control of my schedule.
100%.
I'm teaching yoga now, and I'm freelancing graphic design. I quit my corporate job at the end of August. So I've just been hustling and enjoying the freelance life and teaching hot power vinyasa classes and getting ready for this baby.
So since we're on the yoga topic real quick, are you currently teaching right now?
I'm teaching at Black Cat Yoga in Libertyville.
Oh, fabulous. How did you get on your journey to finding yoga? Like, when did you start practicing?
I started practicing when I had to have been about 18.
Quite a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. 35 now. And so I came across this, I don't even know how I got it, but I had this VHS tape of Denise Austin.
And she doing,
I know. She knows how to work you out, I tell you what. And it was a combination of yoga and floor Pilates. And it got me into really good shape. And I've always liked being more flexible and stretching. It just feels so good.
It's so important.
I've always been better with flexibility than strength. Mm-hmm. So yoga was appealing to me for that reason, and then the Pilates was nice too. But over the years, I, you know, would just kind of dabble with yoga here and there, and it was back in when I was working with the dogs, so I'm guessing it was like 2010. Mm-hmm. And this woman who was really cool, this lady who was like in her mid-70s, she did tons of yoga, and she invited me to go to this workshop with her. And it was just about pretty much the basic philosophy of yoga. And so I went to this workshop, and I hadn't really learned about this side of it yet. All I knew was the physical side, the asana.
The fitness, yeah.
And, yeah, and I really liked that, you know. So I go to this workshop, and everything the teacher said made so much sense. Everything from, you know, putting a lot of thought into your mental state to like self-preservation to learning how to walk through a bunch of chaos but stay calm. Mm-hmm. And I can't even remember everything that she talked about, but I left that workshop going, oh my gosh, like, this makes sense. This is like the thing I've been looking for.
Because
I'm not a religious person. Uh-huh. So like I don't have all that stuff. And I just kind of always relied on myself to just like figure things out, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I rely on yoga for everything. You know, I can be a very skeptical person, but everything she said, I mean, even just from like a psychology standpoint, it just made so much sense, and it was all just based in happiness, and it really resonated with me, and I thought, wow, like, it would be really cool to dive even deeper into this and become a yoga teacher, but the timing didn't make sense. You know, it's a 200-hour training to get started, and it just, between that and where I was in my career, it didn't make sense yet. And so I kept with yoga, you know, I kept doing it at home, and like I'd go to a studio every now and then. And a few years ago, I decided that I really wanted to get more serious about it. And I joined a hot power studio. And the first time, I won't lie, I thought I was going to throw up.
yep.
The room was at 96 degrees with 60% humidity, and I had history. Yeah. I had a very mild history of passing out in the heat, but this studio made sense with my commute and the time. So I was like, well, I'll give it a try. So like while I'm dying in this class, I'm looking around and I see all these other people are doing just fine. And it seems like they're having fun. And I thought, well, I want to be like that.
Uh-huh.
So I came back the next day and I just kept going several times a week. And I just fell in love with it. The challenge was amazing. And that studio taps into a little bit of the spiritual side as well. You know, it just mm-hmm. kind of depends on which teacher you get.
Yeah.
And the word spiritual is kind of funny. You could almost just call it motivational side or like the philosophical side of yoga.
But, absolutely.
So I learned a lot, and I really left every time with a sense of peace, not only because of like the philosophy of yoga, but because doing such an intense workout really helped take me out of my mind, which is always going like crazy. And I'm always thinking. I'm a planner, so I've got like 8 lists in my head all the time.
We're very similar in that way. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah, and doing a vinyasa flow, you're linking breath and movement, so uh-huh. there's really no opportunity to like sit around and think about what you have to do later.
But it's so funny how you explain that, and is exactly how I feel about jujitsu.
Yeah.
Exercise
is amazing, isn't it?
Well, but it's that connection, you know, I think it's a little, as much as I love like traditional fitness and lifting weights and all of that. And there's, you know, these things such as functional training and things have, definitely a place for all these other sports. But with jujitsu and I think even yoga, it's that fact where it combines like the mind, body, soul, you know, into it. So you have that motivational or psychological, spiritual connection because you really can't think of anything else at the time that you are, you know, training or having that session. So it's just very funny to hear you speak of, you know, yoga like this when it's like, that's exactly how I feel about jujitsu.
It's the best. It's the best feeling. It's so nice to find your sanctuary, you know?
Absolutely. That's your passion. Yeah. That's like your stress relief, your comfort zone. And how funny though, too, the timing that you kind of, learned more about it was probably at a very important time in your life, not just the actual yoga, the fitness part, but the mental side of it, you know, and that definitely set into your mind the goals you wanted to achieve in the future of getting your certification and your instructor training.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I'm not one of those people who thinks that, you know, things are meant to be and everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty amazing how everything has fallen into place. I really can't complain, you know.
Yeah, I am one of those people. So I'm like, that timing seems pretty spot on.
Yeah, and I mean, while I don't think that everything happens for a reason or whatever, you know, I do think that if you have goals, you try your best, and you're most likely going to achieve them. I mean, I'm not going to become the Queen of England next week. You know, that wouldn't be a goal that would make any sense.
Right.
But for the most part, I mean, you really can control so much of your destiny, and you can, like, I hate to overuse the word manifest, especially because in the yoga community, everybody says it, but you really can manifest certain things in your life. But you have to be open to it, and you also kind of have to take off the pressure at the same time, because like I said, I came across getting into the philosophy in like 2010, but then I didn't end up getting certified till this winter.
Well, and I think having patience, you know, with yourself and all the goals that you have, and putting out, you know, I think manifest is a great word, because you have to exude that, I think, positivity and patience towards the goals that you have to be able to manifest them and, you know, have them come into your life and be open, like you said.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And you have to be willing to walk through some fire to do it. And you have to be willing to feel uncomfortable. And because if you're not uncomfortable, you're probably not growing.
Yes. That's, I'm like, all these key words you're hitting, you know, I always tell the girls too in jujitsu, you know, you learn to be comfortable in the uncomfortable. And I think that's something that when you can master that, you know, you can definitely push yourself a lot further.
Yeah, it's worth it. It really is. You know, it's nice to come out the other side of it. That's for sure.
Yes. Absolutely. So, you know, you're enjoying yoga, you have your certification now, and, you know, through this whole journey, you said you were about 26 when you started discovering you had all these different allergies. I'm like,
yeah.
I want to talk about how you discovered that.
Oh my God. It was a really... So pretty much what happened was my skin started like erupting into red bumps on my hands, and then it started to spread, and I had no idea what was going on, and I, you know, came up with a million things that it could have been, but I went to the doctor, and you know, you start out with your primary care physician or whatever, and he wasn't really sure, that early on in the journey, I can't even remember if he prescribed me something. I remember early on one of the people saying, like, oh, you need to, like, wash more, and I was like, I really don't think that's it, but okay.
You're like, I'm showering and bathing appropriately.
Yeah. I'm good.
Right.
But it kept getting worse, and it was getting worse. It was getting bad quickly. And like any bump that popped up, it was not going away. It was just spreading. It spread up my arms. It ended up happening on my legs.
Oh my gosh.
And it got to the point where, I mean, I just had these weeping wounds all over me.
Wow.
And the doctors were prescribing me stuff. You know, they would prescribe me creams, that, whatever. And it wasn't getting better. And so they sent me on the, you know, going to dermatologists. And I saw several dermatologists. And they did biopsies and, you know, to make sure that it wasn't some, like, contagious something or another. And
something bacterial or,
Yeah, and it wasn't anything like that. All the tests were coming back negative, and I was sliding further and further downhill, and so they started prescribing me steroids.
Yeah,
and I would get better, but then I would slide even further downhill.
Because it wasn't really correcting anything.
Yeah, I mean, it would for a second, and then it would just get way worse. So the doctors, they sent me to an allergist because they were thinking, well, maybe it's allergies or something. And so they started doing allergy testing on me, and, you know, I tested positive for all the normal things that they test you for, you know, tree pollen this, you know, cats that, you know, dust, whatever. I'm allergic to stuff in every season, including winter, since I'm allergic to dust. And, you know, and then they did a, oh gosh, what do they call it? I can't remember what it's called offhand, but it's like the most basic patch test that you can get from at a dermatologist's office, or like maybe even at like your allergist or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they found out I was allergic to some chemicals and stuff like that. We did the skin prick test. And so I, you know, eliminate all these things and my skin gets a little better. But it's still, like, I'm still a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so my allergist said, I don't have anybody who has this many allergies. And the dermatologist, like, looked at me one day and she was like, what am I going to do with you? And I was like, oh my gosh.
You're like,
say that.
Right. You're like, this you is know? Not what I want to hear from the professional.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You've got to be able to help me.
Yeah, I used to have such a naive view of doctors, you know, thinking, and so, like, in the beginning of this whole process, I wasn't even that freaked out, because I was just like, oh, you know, things happen to your body, you go to the doctor, they prescribe you something, and then you're over it, and
mm-hmm.
you move on to the next thing, but that was not happening, and with all the doctors that I saw, the dermatologist, the allergist, I mean, I would be at an appointment, they'd be looking at my mess of like what was going on my legs, and then they would call in another doctor and say, look at this, because they just couldn't believe it.
Wow.
And so one of the doctors that I was seeing regularly, I believe she was a dermatologist, she could have been an allergist, I was in the doctor's office at least once a week, so it starts to mush together, you know.
I'm like, how long was this time period?
I don't know. It was like a month or so.
Okay.
Like I just kept on sliding further and further downhill.
Uh-huh.
It was terrible. And it was probably over a month.
Wow.
Counting from the very beginning when things popped up. It feels like 10,000 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really like, I wasn't really tracking my progress at that point. And I have a few pictures from when I was at some of my worst, but I didn't really realize the
extent
the severity
of it. Yeah.
Of what was going on and what was, how much worse it was going to get. So
wow.
I met one of my doctor's offices and she said, she looked at me and she said, look, I've done everything I can do for you. There's no more allergy tests. There's nothing else that we can prescribe you. She said, you have to go see Dr. Sheeman. And so I was like, okay. And I was on an HMO at that point,
mm-hmm.
and which really got a bad rap, but I had all these doctors seeing me, and in the end, they figured out what was wrong. So I still stand behind HMOs. But this one particular doctor, Dr. Sheeman, was out of my network. And my doctors were so awesome that they like got in touch with my insurance company and begged and pleaded or did whatever they had to do to communicate the severity of what was going on. And
oh, wow, actually, that's amazing.
I know. That's how bad it was.
Right.
And so they yeah. Blue Cross made an exception, and they let my insurance cover this. They got me into his office fast, which
mm-hmm.
is really hard because he's like the godfather of allergy patch testing.
Okay.
And there are not a lot of these doctors in the country. There are really only a handful. And I happened to just get lucky that we have one in Northbrook.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, super close.
So I go, yeah. So lucky. I mean, I know people through my blog who live in Texas and have gotten referred to him.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that's
so
that's
he's the man.
These
yeah.
Well, and it's not just that; it's that there are not
there's not
there
many
any of these doctors
right.
at all. And the reason is because it's so expensive to keep all of these allergens on file, like to keep 10 billion chemicals and fabric patches and everything they can test you for. It's expensive.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, you know, I thank my lucky stars that he does what he does. So I went to see him. He filled my back up with patches. It was like a back brace, and I had to wear it for like a few days, and then they take it off, and then you can't shower, and so they after they
wow,
take it
this
off
is crazy.
They,
yeah.
They, yeah, I know. After they take it off, they record all the results from your back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go like another day or two and you don't shower, and then you come back and they record everything else, because you could have five allergies and you react to one more severely than the other.
Uh-huh.
And there it's very common for there to be delayed reactions.
I was going to say it might not happen right away, right? I think we're allergic to something, there's going to be an instant response, but that's not the case.
Yeah. No, not, yeah, and that it just kind of complicates things, you know?
Right, of course.
So he ended up telling me that I'm allergic to all these chemicals that are in preservatives, and told me how severely allergic I am to nickel. He looked at me and he said, so if you had poison ivy in your yard, you would do everything you could to remove it, right? I said, yeah. And he said, well, that's what you have to do with nickel. And I was like, okay.
Wow, and my sister's allergic to nickel. Probably not as severely as you, but yes, she is.
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, I had like the issues with the earrings or whatever.
Right,
but
right.
This is like, I can't touch my keys.
Oh my gosh.
I can't touch the zippers on my pants. I can't touch the little like pull thing on the light bulb we have down here in our basement. I can't touch the dog's collar, like the metal pieces on it.
Holy cow.
It's everywhere. It's even an acupuncture needle. It's like,
really?
It's in dentist stuff. I had an allergic reaction at the dentist and a little mirror they use when they're like pulling your mouth open. I mean, I'm allergic to Apple products, like MacBooks and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So this, I mean,
it's intense.
Yeah, that touches, I mean, that's like every aspect of your life.
Yeah. And then he asked me if I wanted to do the fabric panel, like for polyester and stuff
right.
like that. And I was kind of like, well, do you think I should? And he was like, well, it's really up to you. And I was like, because I didn't think I was going to be allergic to all this stuff, and they were already filling up my back. So after I do all this testing and everything, and I eliminate these 8,000 things, which like one of the main ones, propylene glycol, is in everything.
Oh my gosh, that's in everything.
It's in your antifreeze, it's in your cake mix, it's in your soap, it's in your shampoo, it's in...
Isn't that crazy that one ingredient is in all of those different things?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's because it's a clear, tasteless, mostly tasteless, and odorless fluid that you can dissolve stuff into, and it freezes at a lower temperature, so it's good for preserving stuff.
Right.
And actually, a lot of botanical extracts. This is a really good tidbit, especially as far as wellness goes.
Yes.
Extracts. So, like, you get a product and it's, like, all natural and it's got rose extract and this extract and that one. Okay.
Here's You're the like, thing. Here's the problem.
Yeah. Here's the thing about extracts. If you're going to use them, they should really be organic. And, like, granted, even the label organic, they don't have to be 100% organic, so that kind of sucks. But if it just says, you know, rose extract, hidden ingredients are legal in our country. So they do not have to tell you that the extract is dissolved into propylene glycol.
Because that's how they preserve
legal.
It.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
right.
that's like the carrier or whatever.
Yeah.
And so the only reason I know that is because Dr. Sheeman explained it to me, because he was having some type of beauty product made, and he was getting something shipped over from another country where it's hot. And they said, well, it's going to go bad if we don't put it in propylene glycol. And he was like, okay. And they said, well, do you want us to list that on the ingredient list? And he said, well, don't you have to? And they said, nope. So that's how he found out. So I was using Garnier Fructis product, and my hands were just destroyed. So you have to be really careful even of things that claim to be natural. And last I checked, the FDA was not actually defining natural. It said on their website that they didn't have the time and resources to do it.
You know, it's interesting because I have my own skincare line that I'm rebranding right now. And it's very important to me that it's, you know, all organic is, you know, as much as possible and everything's listed on the ingredients. But, you know, you can't, people will tell me, well, it says it's natural. And I'm like, natural does not mean anything. You know, if the USDA organic is better, but I know too, you're saying there could be, if there's extracts, that could still be within something and they don't have to list those ingredients. But making sure that you are using something that's USDA organic is going to be probably your best bet. But when things are claim all natural, you know, that's a gimmick. I mean, anybody can put that on anything.
Yeah.
You know, so you really have to do your research, which is unfortunate, but people don't understand that. Even with food stuff, you know, people, when I'm working with my nutrition clients, it's like, well, it's natural. Yeah, but that, I'm like, that means nothing. I'm like, that means nothing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I hear that word and my brain just kind of shuts off. I'm like,
exactly.
It does nothing for me. But after he tested me for all this stuff and I avoided it, my skin still wasn't calming down all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is going on? And I was staying over at my boyfriend, who's now my husband's place. And he had just changed his sheets and they were 100% polyester. And I didn't think anything of it until I woke up the next day. I had been sleeping on my stomach and my whole front just had a huge rash.
Oh my goodness.
I understood at that point that I had contact allergies. So I knew to start investigating what I had touched. And at this point, it was a no-brainer. It was, you know, the sheets were 100% polyester.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sleeping in anything else. And so I started to eliminate polyester. And that's when my skin really, that's when it started to be clear, completely, pretty much. So,
oh my gosh.
I should have done the fabric panel. I wish I had, but I kind of figured the polyester thing out on my own.
Right.
And then that was kind of the end of my diagnosis journey. And then it just became a matter of learning how to cope with it, because it was either I could be on steroids that I wasn't allergic to, which is prednisone, which has psychotic side effects and also didn't make my stomach feel good, or I could completely change my life, throw out all my clothes, my furniture, my hair products, everything
and start
over. So I went with that option, and you know, it was difficult in the beginning. I'm not going to lie. There were days that I came home really angry and feeling defeated that I was being controlled by this condition that I developed out of nowhere.
Oh, I'm sure it had to be extremely frustrating.
Yeah, it sucked. And it just took time. It took time figuring out, you know, just pretty much finding all my new products, finding, you know, having the, because you can't just replace everything you have at once. It's really expensive. You know, replacing all of our furniture, doing stuff like that. So our couches are 100% cotton. I got them at IKEA. They're great. And it just took a complete overhaul. I actually was wearing 100% cotton at one point because I was just so overwhelmed by everything that I was I know that I'm fine with cotton.
Yeah.
I'm just going to cut everything out.
I'm just wearing cotton right now.
And that's tough. I don't know you know, for anybody else who's done it, you know how difficult it is because pretty much everything is a blend.
I was going to say everything's a blend. There's not a lot of just pure cotton products.
Not for women. It's so much easier for men because their silhouettes aren't required to be as stretchy because they're not clinging to curves or anything
like
that.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah. So the internet, like, I was so grateful for that because I was able to find some cute jeans and stuff. But I tell you what, wearing 100% cotton skinny jeans, you gain a pound. Like, you're not wearing your jeans, you know?
Oh my gosh. I can just imagine the struggles. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I finally, after a number of years, started phasing in synthetics, but still left out polyester because I just couldn't. The struggle was real. And when it came like to be wedding time, I finally just got really annoyed with the whole thing and I threw caution to the wind and I was like, I'll leave out polyester, but I'm going to try like elastane and spandex and see how that goes. And luckily it's been fine. So, it just took a while.
Right. Well, absolutely. And yeah, like you said, I mean, financially, you can't just go and replace everything. I mean, especially when you're talking about furniture and things like that. I mean, that's expensive. So you have to pick and choose kind of what the priority is going to be at the time. But you also want to be feeling better and not having these, you know, outbreaks, which I could just imagine how hard that was to have to deal with.
Yeah, it was trying times, I tell you. And that's why I started my website, because I just wanted to share the tips that I had come up with to help other people. I mean, nickel allergy is one of the most common. Mm-hmm. There's I can't remember which organization does it, but it's one of the big ones, and they have like an allergen of the year, and nickel got one of them. And I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, like you said, you know, your sister's allergic to nickel. Not everybody's as severe as I am, but one of the things that I started doing that no doctor told me to do, because I mean, the doctors are great. Like, if you're having skin issues, please, gosh, go get patch tested.
Right.
Not enough people do it, and they just continue to end up suffering. But your doctor hands you this list of things, and now you've got to figure out how to avoid them. And you've got to figure out how to navigate hidden ingredients and stuff like that. But as far as nickel goes, I can't tell you how many doorknobs have nickel in them. And I found that out when I was at work, and it was a brass, like it looked like a brass doorknob, like kind of with an antique looking, it looked like, you know, nice looking doorknob.
Yeah.
But the palms of my hands would just get so itchy. And so I had my nickel testing kit, and it's this little vial with a really potent smelling chemical in it. And you put it on a Q-tip and then you rub it on the metal thing. Mm-hmm. And if it turns pink, then there's nickel. And so how I figured out this doorknob had nickel, and I was like, well, man, what am I supposed to do? Not touch doorknobs? So
wear gloves.
Huh? Well, okay. I did that. But then also, like, finding cotton gloves.
I was going to say,
annoying.
You can't have, fabric blend in your gloves. Then that's a whole other project.
Yeah. So, like, all the cute gloves are made out of other stuff. Uh-huh. And wearing them in the summertime sucks, and so I carry around a couple bandanas with me.
Oh, there you go.
And I use that to open doorknobs. And people probably, I'm positive that people think I'm a germaphobe, but I've been doing this for so long now that I don't even care.
Who cares? And I'd be like, listen, you don't have to deal with what I do, so watch me with my bandana.
So it's been a journey. And like with another really good tidbit, because a lot of people who come to my website are allergic to propylene glycol. Mm-hmm. And going back to how hidden ingredients are legal, and This one isn't as tricky because in the name of the ingredient, they are telling you that something has changed about it. But modified food starch is used in so many of the things in the freezer, in the freezer aisles.
Right.
And it's also in vitamins. So in this journey, they figured out that I'm vitamin D deficient. And taking vitamin D didn't like really seem to like alleviate my skin issues, but I was taking vitamin D with my lunch, and I noticed that I kept getting nauseous at lunch every day.
Interesting.
So I was like, this is weird. And at that point, I had started my blog, and one of the readers said, you know, hey, your vitamins might have modified food starch in them.
Well, there's a lot of binders and fillers in vitamins that,
people
don't know about.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so modified food starch, which is even in like a lot of the gluten-free products and like vegan products.
Uh-huh.
So you think you're getting something healthy. That's not necessarily what that means. Gluten-free is gluten-free. Vegan is vegan.
Exactly. It doesn't mean it's healthy and chemical-free and organic.
Yeah. Exactly. So I did my research and I went on the FDA's website, and modified food starch is food starch that's modified with a whole list of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And in this list of chemicals, there's a certain percentage allowed for each chemical. And propylene glycol was the highest out of all the chemicals.
Wow,
and
look
so
at
that's
that.
Why. Yeah, that's why my vitamins were making me sick.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So on that point, as we're kind of talking about vitamins and a little bit into food, did you have a lot? Did you get tested for all different food allergies? Like, are there things that you can't eat, or is it more in contact?
As far as like the top eight food allergies go, I don't have any of those.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I mean, somehow, there's one bonus, right? A little bit. I am lactose intolerant.
Okay.
So I avoid dairy, but it's not as severe as a dairy allergy. I'm not going to go into anaphylactic shock because I had some dairy. It's just really uncomfortable for me, as far as my digestive system goes. But and it's interesting because I belong to an allergy group on Facebook for propylene glycol allergy.
Yeah.
And somebody was saying, you know, I just got diagnosed with this allergy. They did the patch testing. Is this just like a skin thing, or can I get sick from it internally too if I ingest it? And the answer is that it's different for everybody.
Yeah. Everybody's, I'm sure, very unique.
Yeah. I think I was the only person. I haven't checked up on it. I turned off the notifications after a certain point for that post.
Yeah.
But I was probably about like five or six deep. I was the only person who was reacting to it internally.
Okay.
It's different for everybody, which, you know, then again, makes allergies more complicated. I mean, there's even a girl out there who is allergic to water on her skin, but she can drink it, but she can't have it on her
gosh.
Skin. So she
that is
has
so bizarre.
To shower. Yeah, she has to shower in this special solution of, I don't know what it is, but it's not water.
Holy cow, that's crazy.
I know. Can you imagine? So even though I've got, you know, a lot of allergies, I have to thank my lucky stars that I'm not allergic to water.
Well, and that's cool. I mean, you know, there's so many people that I think have food allergies and or sensitivities, even, we can say. You know, you... And I think that's people are becoming more and more aware of that. But having this, like the chemicals and the contact and daily things that you touch and come across and wear and use, you know, topically, I feel like we don't hear as much of that to this extent. And you being able to, you know, having gone through this journey, being able to share all those tips of products and stuff that you found to help, I think is just, you know, great that you're being able to share and help people with.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people out there. We just don't, we don't hear about it as much, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, I hate to like sound like a conspiracy theory person, but these chemicals are created by corporations who need to keep making chemicals to make money and keep everybody employed. And they can't test us fast enough or well enough for us to really be able to manage it. And like you brought up food, all these chemicals
they're all
don't
get
shelf,
me started,
you know?
On
I mean,
that
like sauces, forget it. I mean there are so many preservatives and sauces and chemicals that I'm allergic to. I read the label to everything, and just because because you've read the label once does not mean that it's going to have the same ingredients on it the next time you pick it up. They don't have to say on the package that something has changed.
Wow.
So it's important to read the ingredients every single time.
And also
remember the thing about hidden ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do your research. I know they say don't go online and do research, but going online to find out about hidden ingredients can be helpful. It can also be really overwhelming, but it's proven useful for me. So you really have to be your own advocate. I mean, the doctors can only tell us so much. I mean, even when I go to the doctor, I mean, with this pregnancy, I was wondering how it was going to go because doctors prescribe stuff.
Yeah.
I'm allergic to, or like, for example, I have to bring my own ultrasound gel with me because they don't list the ingredients on ultrasound gel. And I know that propylene glycol is one of the commonly used ingredients.
Oh,
in
I
it.
Bet.
So I had to go online, do research, find somebody else with the allergy on like some random board somewhere who had tried the specific kind that for whatever amazing reason they sell at walmart.com. And so I bought this big thing of, you know, ultrasound gel, and I bring it with
and
me
you bring
to
your
every
own.
Appointment.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love that.
And like going into this, I really didn't know if I was going to be allergic to the stuff in the IVs because I'm often allergic to that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to talk to my doctor. We had to talk to like two of the other doctors in other parts of the like healthcare system that mm-hmm. I belong to figure out if everything was going to be okay for me. And I think it was like over-the-counter Tylenol or aspirin or one of those. That's the one thing I have to avoid, but I was fine with everything else. And I was like, oh, thank God I don't have to have a natural birth.
Right.
You know?
You're like, oh God, no, please.
Yeah. So
have to be an advocate for yourself. I mean, look at that. Like if you had taken something and not even researched it, you know, I mean, who knows what could happen, especially when you're carrying another, you know, another life. You want to make sure everything's, you know, okay.
Yeah. And I had to get a vaccine recently for the baby, the Tdap vaccine for whooping cough, because that's like a thing that's happening again. And I said to the doctor, well, what are the ingredients? And they said, well, I don't know.
I don't
know.
Yeah.
So they, yeah,
that,
and
that,
so they
that
handed
just
me,
kills me right there. Yeah,
I know it sucks, but they handed me this pamphlet that, like, is the pamphlet that they're given, and I'm looking at this thing. I take it home with me, and it still doesn't list the ingredients. But I go online and I go to the actual like product website mm-hmm. for this vaccine, and like get into one of their fact sheets. Then so the ingredients were listed and there for it.
Right.
So you know, being your own advocate is so important. You know, I bring my ultrasound stuff with me every time, and the doctors are kind of used to it, but sometimes they forget. So like the doctor today at my appointment went to squirt some of his stuff on me, and I like had to cover up
with
my hands and be like, oh, nope, not that one. And he's like, oh, my bad, I'm sorry. You know, and you grab my other one. So you really just have to stay on your game.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You want to do what's best, especially with the vaccine. I'm not saying I'm anti, you know, vaccine, because I obviously I think we do need them. And especially when you're dealing with newborns and, children and stuff like that. But, you know, asking your doctor, and they're such advocates for, here, you need to have this and you need to have this, and they don't even know what's in it. Just, that part just boggles my mind. But, you know, obviously you've dealt with this for so long, and, you know, helping share these tips with other people, to really understand like where and how much research they have to do, and digging of their own to kind of figure out what's in everything.
Yeah, it's really important. I mean, there are so many chemicals being created and new products released that, like, I got to give the doctors a little bit of slack, because I don't know how they would keep up.
Well, keep up, right. For sure. And that's not, they're trying to keep people healthy and alive and, not able to just sit and research ingredients all the time. But, obviously, if we could get that balance, that would be good, working towards that. On your website, which looks amazing, by the way, have on there, you have your blog, which, mm-hmm. How often do you post on that?
At this point, I'm posting about once a month. In the beginning, I was posting like 5 times a week.
Yeah.
But I generated a lot of content, and at a certain point, I wanted to switch it from just being a blog to also being a website that people can go to and be presented with different options for solutions. So like when you go to my Start Here page, it talks about, you can download this product guide. You can buy my Health Disruptor Journal, which I created. And that's something that'll help you chart your reactions that you're having if you're unsure of what you need to eliminate, or things that are actually okay for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a journal that you can use every day for a month, and you can print out as many sheets as you want.
That's
after
awesome.
You purchase it. And it can help eliminate stuff. And when you go to doctors in the beginning of this journey, taking that to them is so helpful, because they're going to ask you questions like, what type of things do you do on a regular basis? Do you use lots of hair products? Do you do this? Do you do that? So this can help kind of refine that. And then the blog is another feature of it. And I also encourage people to share their stories. And I get so many stories that I can't even post them all.
Wow.
So my last couple of posts have been stories, and I might just post stories for a little bit, because I want to get more of them out, because I hate seeing all these emails come in and then I feel like I can't share everybody's, because they've got, people share such useful information.
Oh, of course.
I've learned so much. And like one of the big things I learned, I received all these terrible stories about the Escher implant, which is a permanent birth control that they insert into the fallopian tubes. And there are these little springs, and they put a spring in each fallopian tube, and then your tubes kind of like get aggravated, and then they grow around the spring so that sperm can't get through. Well, the problem is that they contain nickel.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So they weren't testing people beforehand for nickel allergy.
To see if they were allergic.
It's permanent. It's permanent. You have to get a hysterectomy
to remove
them out. Yeah,
so
there were all these women who were having terrible problems. Like, Jen, oh my God, it's heartbreaking. Everything being in debilitating pain, to having every symptom under the sun, to mental breakdowns, marriages ruined, just, losing their job, it completely destroyed them. And they would go to their doctor and they would say, look, I think that it's because of this implant. My doctor would be like, oh, yeah, I don't know. And some women started being able to convince their doctors to remove it. It sucks because it ends up meaning getting a hysterectomy.
Oh, my
gosh.
But
then their symptoms started to go away.
So
then there was this big, all these women organized, mm-hmm. and they got together against, I think it was the FDA, mm-hmm. To get this pulled from the market.
Right.
And, I mean, even for the people who aren't allergic to it, these springs can move and, like, start floating around in your body, which
is
bad.
Oh, my gosh.
And
that's crazy.
People can feel them moving. It's nuts. And so the FDA, in the end, and this was, like, a year or two ago,
mm-hmm.
in the end, they wouldn't pull it from the market, but they gave it a black label, which is the most severe warning you can put on anything.
Uh-huh.
So that's what they did. They put a black label on it for a warning. But there are so many people out there who have these issues with allergies, and it's crazy. And we're just really lucky to have the internet as an online community, because
right. Well,
I don't know how else we'd find each other.
I mean, yeah, passing on that information, and you've learned so much from your journey as others have learned from yours, and you're learning from other people's, and having that platform. I mean, I think that's an amazing idea to have others come on and share their input and experiences, because everyone is so unique and different, and having those people come together and having that support, you know, of people that understand what it is to go through this, I think is just super important.
Yeah, My journey was rocky and rough, but there are so many people who've had it way worse.
Wow. Well, so on your site, you do have a guide that people can download, because I know we didn't get to all, you know, different products we've talked about. Of course, so much information that you shared that's going to help people. But they can actually go on there for a download to see the top products that you suggest, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's free to download. It's an 11-page PDF, and it's got everything from allergy products, eczema products, beauty, household, bath and body,
wow.
more specific, you know, things like deodorant, eye care, feminine care, and several other categories of things that I've been using over the years that I've been using without issue.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to share that with other people, because that was part of that was one of the most difficult parts of my journey, and it's also the most common thing people would ask me. You know, what do you use for this?
Right.
What do you use for that?
So I was going to say, that is like a golden tool right there that you are giving.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean,
people download it every day.
Yeah, I'm going to download it to have it for my clients too, because I mean, I know the experience with you for your wedding, doing your makeup and having to find
yeah.
everything. You know, you gave me a list
yeah.
of all your allergies, and I had to make sure, you know, that all the products I was using didn't have any of that in there. But that's,
yeah.
It's great information to have to pass on to people. Especially if they know that they're allergic to something, it's like, oh, I have this great download. I have these great products and tools, you know, to share that can work. So that's
yeah,
awesome.
And you did a great job on my wedding makeup.
Oh,
I loved
thank
it.
You. Well, you're a beautiful model. So it wasn't difficult. Once we got past, it was a great challenge though, too. I mean, some stuff you obviously knew that you used, but, you know, just making sure and really diving into all the ingredients and, finding out that a lot of the products I used were okay. Some weren't, and I had mm-hmm. to tweak it, but, you know, it was definitely a great challenge to have.
Yeah, and I just appreciated how accommodating you were.
Oh, of course. I mean, look, everybody, you know, everybody has different experiences, and it's, you want to give everybody, especially on their wedding day, you know, you want them to feel the most beautiful they can on that day. So, you know, you want to do everything you can to help. So it was my pleasure for sure. So tell everybody, Jen, where they can find you. So we have the website, the allergista.com, correct?
Yeah. You can find me there. And if you're looking for allergy stuff, it's got all the links to my social media. I'm the Allergies on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. And then if you're interested in yoga stuff or any graphic design stuff, I have my personal website for that. Is JenniferMarieJenkins.com, and that links to my Instagram, and I'm Jennifer Marie Jenkins on there, and I post pretty much on that one, just everything having to do with yoga and my graphic design journey. And
awesome.
Pretty much covers that.
I'll share those sites when the podcast comes out too as well, so people can just click right on and get all the information. So
thank you.
Of course. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out today to share your journey. and I'm so excited for you to have your baby very, very soon.
Thank you.
So I'm glad everything is going so well with that.
Yeah, I've got to thank yoga for that in part, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Hey, we know staying fit and keeping up with the mobility and, you know, exercise, I feel like during your life and pregnancy especially, can just make the pregnancy so much better.
Absolutely. Stay active.
Yes, for sure. So thank you. Thank you again so much. And to all of the listeners out there, any questions or topics you want to hear me discuss, any ideas or suggestions for guests, just shoot me an email at gettingzenwithjenz@gmail.com. I'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks. Bye.